each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. I want to say again, thank God it's Friday, but it's not yet. It's not yet. It's Thursday. But you're
wishing your life away, Father.
No, you know, that's true. Mm-hmm. No, it's not true. I mean, I don't want to, but that's what I don't want to do. Yeah. So anyway, but working on these, we've got Christina told me the other day, and she'll be on in a few minutes. She's here in the studio, but we have a guest who I will mention momentarily, surprise guest. But we had Christina mentioned. See, we're up against the Holy Week. I mean, it's coming. It's just a week after next, so we've got to meet deadlines. So you remember Tuesday? Every Tuesday, I kind of more or less I share with you, our listeners, my reflections for the week as I'm preparing the letter for the bulletin, and so I'd got that done, thinking, well, now I can rest for a week, right? And Christina says, by the way, you know, she said, this Friday is the deadline for the Palm Sunday letter, and then we've got to get the Easter letter out. And so I'm working today nonstop trying to pull something together. So I got the Palm Sunday letter done, and I'm working on the Easter letter at this point. So anyway, and today happens to be the feast of our great patron, the patron of the church. Who is the patron of the church?
St. Joseph.
Well, there's a strange voice. Sister Florine, welcome. How are you?
I'm fine, Father, and you?
I'm doing okay. Like I said, I'm a little bit frazzled as always, but trying to get everything done. But welcome. This is Sister Florine from our, we don't call it a soup kitchen because
it's not super soup kitchen
because it's not just soup. You feed everybody.
Yes,
and it's a full meal.
Soup and more.
It's like, we used to say lupper. It's like supper and lunch.
Oh, that, I never heard that before. Huh? Lupper. How about that? That's a new word. I don't like that word. That sounds
odd. Lupper's better than leper.
Leper, yeah. For sure, yeah. So what brings you here? Because you weren't even invited, sister. You just came.
Well, you've been asking me to come.
I have been.
I was saying my prayers last night. I said, tomorrow's my most favorite feast in the whole world.
Is it really?
After Christmas and Easter, yes.
Yeah.
I love St. Joseph, and I learned to the devotion of St. Joseph when I was a very, very little girl from my family.
And this would be because you are Catholic, for sure.
Yes.
But also because you're Italian.
I'm Italian.
And yeah, the Italians have a very, very strong devotion to St. Joseph.
Yes, they do.
Explain because this is very popular, very big in the Italian community, but although it's growing in other communities, we don't do it here, the St. Joseph's table, but can you maybe talk a little bit
from what I know from our tradition. My family's from southern Italy, and it's just a little bit different than the northern Italy. They don't do it as much as we do.
Sure.
However, the whole point is to to bring people together because St. Joseph was a father of the poor.
Right.
And, you know, he took such good care of Saint Jesus, and he is the father of the family.
Right.
And so I know when I was a little girl, my mother used to call the diocese in Detroit, and because I'm from Detroit, Michigan, and she would get 9 orphans.
Really?
And my brothers would go pick them up and bring them. And they sat at the main table that we only use for Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving.
Wow.
And my mother made a fabulous meal for them with all her, what they call, gumaris. You know, those are their favorite friends, or maybe they stood up for each other's weddings.
That's how
they got the name gumari.
Gumari.
And they would be cooking and laughing and having so much fun.
Sure.
And I would they'd let me help, but I was kind of in the way when I was little. So they just kind of politely shoved me out of the way.
And you never got to sit at the big table, did you?
No. Well, just for the main feast days. Yeah. We did, but, or when I did my homework. That was another. But so what she would do is she had like a buffet. And she'd have all kinds of fruits and candy and cakes and all that. And she'd get a lot of donations from people because people knew that she did this. And they wanted to participate in some way. Some of them gave money. Some of them, you know, gave their own help. They would make this pasta. Because it was no meat.
Right.
At that time, it was no meat. So they make this pasta, and instead of the spaghetti sauce, they would have all kinds of beans, all fava, everything.
Sure.
And I'd look in there, and I think, oh, my, what a mush-push. But anyway, and then, you know, then she put fresh fennel in,
Fennel?
You know that...
fennel.
You ever see that celery that's anise celery?
The what?
Anise celery. Oh,
it's fennel.
Fennel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever.
And the leaves are called fennel.
Okay, whatever.
And they cut them up real little, and it gives a wonderful taste.
Wow.
And then she would put that over pasta.
Mm.
And, they loved that. The children loved that. And then she would make all kinds of chicken, meat, whatever they wanted. Well, no, I'm sorry. That's what was before it was the meat. But, fish.
Yeah,
she'd have shrimp and different kind of fish. Anyway, they ate till their heart's content. And then, we had a little gift for each of them from St. Joseph.
Wow.
And we kind of found out what they needed. And then when it was time to go home, my mother would pack a bag of fruit, a bag of candy, cookies, all this stuff. They needed a truck to go home.
Sure, sure.
But anyway, they came in one car, but they went home in two. But anyway, and they loved it. They looked forward to it. Then when my mother became more sick, because she had cancer for 7 years, and when what she would do is, people knew she still carried out the tradition, but she couldn't do all the work.
Right, right.
So people would give her money, and she'd buy like 100 loaves of fresh bread, Italian fresh bread. And she would give it to St. Joseph Orphanage, and they were like teenagers.
Right, you know? Right.
Well, anyway, just to make a long story short, my mother died on Holy Thursday, okay? And so that day, you know, March 19th was passed, so they said, you know, they were wondering over at the orphanage what happened to my mother. So the day that she died, I came in from the hospital and I answered the phone. And they said, do you know where Mama Licavoli is? And I said, yeah, I do now.
Yeah.
I said, she's in heaven. She is. That's why we didn't hear from her. And I said, well, she just passed away today. And I said, don't you worry, after the funeral, we'll take good care of you, you know.
Wow.
But it was such a beautiful,
beautiful
tradition.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
was so, I mean, and then when I became a house mother, which is one of the sisters that take care of a group of developmentally disabled women.
Right.
What I did was, when I was in Michigan, I had one person dress up as a Blessed Mother and one person dress up as St. Joseph and one person dress up as the child Jesus. And they would serve the meal.
Really? Wow.
And it was so cute because they'd say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for this nice cheesecake or whatever it was, you know. But they loved it. They looked forward to it.
Sure.
We had to pick names. Oh, that was a real deal. But anyway, you know, women, oh, boy, can't keep anybody happy. But anyway.
I didn't say
that. I know you didn't. You don't have to.
I don't have to.
Oh, I tell you, I'd rather work with men any day of my life.
Me too.
No, it's just that they're not so picky.
Yeah. Sure, you know, sure.
They're good people. The women are, I wouldn't be able to run the kitchen, Father.
You can only say that on the Feast of St. Joseph.
Whatever. Anyway, I love my ladies, too, though. They're so special. But, you know, it is. It's easy to... So, anyway, that was our tradition of St. Joseph. And to us, we just... Well, in our community, we pray all the time to St. Joseph for any of our needs, like, you know, how... You know, you receive funding for, in our case, we receive funding from, well, you know, the government is so late with our payments. You know, we're like 5 months behind.
Yeah.
And we pray to St. Joseph because.
And he comes through.
One time, one of the people from the state came and they said, oh, sister, how are you? And I said, how are you? Do you know we have to pay our staff?
Exactly.
They said, yeah, well, we really don't have much to say to do it with that. I said, I'm sure you don't, but if you ever could put in a good word, that would be nice.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway.
What's the tradition of, and I've and many people say it works, but if you want to sell your house.
Oh, yeah, but you know what?
What, sister?
I feel so bad when they put St. Joseph upside down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a miracle he doesn't have high blood pressure. I mean, but they say... You put them upside down, and once you sell it, then you put St. Joseph in a place of honor in your home. What they say.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not so happy with
that.
I don't like the tactics of it, but
yeah.
I mean, why can't you turn them around like you do the Blessed Mother when you don't want it to rain or something? But anyway.
I've never heard that before. What was that one?
Oh, yeah, when you don't want it to rain. You put the Blessed Mother towards the window to watch that it doesn't rain. So whatever, like if something's coming up and you don't want it, you know, let's say it's a
you're going to have a picnic or a...
Oh, yeah, or even a parade in honor of the Blessed Mother.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I know this past year when we had our pasta fest, they put, you know, chance of snow. I went, oh, no, because we have the worst parking situation in the world. So I said, Blessed Mother, I'm going to play a deal with you. Just let it snow to just enough to clean that dirty snow away,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Just so it looks nice and white, then stop, okay? And she did.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, she did.
So that was so we have you to thank for that.
Oh,
I remember
that. I don't know about that, but anyway, it worked.
Wow. Yeah. So your own personal relationship with St. Joseph, and that's...
St. Joseph has been, you know, my father was older.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a joy to him. He changed a lot when I was born. Not that he was a bad person, but he just changed a lot. And I saw St. Joseph as such a paternal person.
Sure.
And I always prayed to St. Joseph for my father. And I used to say, you know, help him because he never had any education, my father, not one day. And he came over to America and... His uncle dropped him here, and that was the end of that story.
Really?
He had to make it on his own.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to say that he did very well for himself just by looking around and being observant and seeing what he could do, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, St. Joseph, we always pray to St. Joseph for vocations, you know.
Right.
Also, and, you know, there's no man in the world that would pick up with that story about the angel guardian now. Let me tell you, if an angel guardian came to a young man today and gave that story, I tell you, I don't think they'd accept it.
Yeah. Well, where was it? Well, I was in at the Mass this morning, or was it in the reading? No, it was in the office, the officer readings today about how God gives, it begins with that. I think it's Saint Bernard, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Let's see, I got it here. But he begins by, he writes about, we're in the wrong place here. Well, I'm glad you stopped in, sister, because I tell you, I just, as always, trying to meet these deadlines here. Okay, let's see. No silence on a radio, huh? I can't turn a page. It's where is this? The 19th, huh?
Yes.
Oh, here we go. That's St. Patrick. Anything about St.
Patrick?
I'm trying to find a page. I can't turn the page. What about St. Patrick?
He's all right.
He's okay.
He's all right.
He gets a lot more promotion.
He does, doesn't he?
But St. Joseph is a quiet, quiet yeah,
that's
saint.
Right. That's right.
And so
that's what the first thing Jerry said this morning, Geraldine, right?
He never said a word.
He never said a word.
In fact, Father,
as opposed to the world we live in, yes.
Yeah.
Father, oh my gosh, our chaplain.
Father Dennis?
Thank you, Father.
Yes.
Well, he said this morning, he says, wouldn't every wife in the world like a man like St. Joseph?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's this the saint, well, today's the feast of St. Joseph for sure, but St. Bernardine of Siena, mm-hmm. The reflection today, he says there's a general rule concerning all special graces mm-hmm. granted to any human being whenever the divine favor chooses someone to receive a special grace mm-hmm. or to accept a lofty vocation. God adorns a person chosen with all the gifts of the Spirit needed to fulfill the task at hand. Mm-hmm. So certainly St. Joseph was given the grace.
Well,
he cooperated.
And he had the faith.
He had the faith, of course.
He had such a strong faith.
What's your favorite story of St. Joseph?
The favorite story for me is when the angel came and said for them to move to Egypt, mm-hmm. But even, you know, when the angel came and reassured him that, because he was really, I think he was hurt.
Uh-huh. Sure.
About the blessed
yes,
mother.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, he was really hurt as a man, and then when the angel came and told him, then God had gave him the grace to understand, he was certainly the best support in the world for the blessed mother.
Yeah.
You know?
Isn't it amazing when you think that God, the Father, entrusted to St. Joseph these two most important persons in mm-hmm. the in the history of the whole human race?
It's true.
The Virgin Mary, the Blessed Mother, mm-hmm. and, of course, the Christ, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And look how he obeyed them, you know?
Yeah,
he didn't have to.
That was,
but
yeah.
the great, you know, what's missing today in many circles is respect.
Sure.
I mean, there was such, no matter what movie you watch about the Holy Family, about anything, there was always such great respect. It was not only something they did as a rule, but it was a custom. I mean, you didn't go outside your boundaries.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even though Jesus was God, I mean, he did and he made St. Joseph so happy, too, to work alongside of him, and he learned so much from him.
Yeah.
I know in the Passion of Christ, the part I like the best is when the Blessed Mother is standing by the table that Jesus made, mm-hmm. and he's kind of playing with her.
Sure.
He's teasing her.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, Joshua, come and eat, or whatever she said.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was... They were really a holy family.
Well, sure they were. They better be. They had to. No, that's St. Joseph. He is a patron of the church, and but you're right. I just it occurred. He never did say a word, did he? Was there no spoken
He's
word?
He's my kind of person,
no
Father.
No spoken word. Yeah, yeah. No spoken word in the Bible. But the I was struck this morning when we chose a reading of the Jesus, the finding of Jesus in the temple for this morning's Mass. And I was struck by the, when Joseph and Mary, when St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin, they found Jesus in the temple. He had been gone for 3 days because they were on their way back from the celebration of the Passover. They mm-hmm. were going back north to Nazareth. And of course, they're with all the kinsfolk and all that, and Jesus, naturally, with his friends and cousins and all that, and so it's only at the end of the day that the families, you know, the family unit would gather, you know, and because those were different times, certainly, mm-hmm. right? So the family gathered, and he wasn't there. Nobody knew where he was.
Mm-hmm.
So you think of as Our Lady said, you know, just, you know, my son, why have you done this to mm-hmm. us? You know, look at the anxiety anxiety you've caused us. You know, this is so human, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the suffering for both the Blessed Virgin and for St. Joseph. And Jesus, what was his response? But did you not know that I must be about the work of my Father, or the will of my Father? Didn't he say, that exactly the words
mm-hmm.
he said? So, and, of course, as... she ponders, Our Lady ponders all this, and of course, St. Joseph as well. But what that must have been for St. Joseph, because it's Jesus is coming of age now, you know, so it's not like he had this, not like Christina had this photo, what do you call it, Christina, this photographic memory. Jesus was the Messiah, but he grew. And in fact, even there in the gospel, it says he went back to them, he was obedient to them, mm-hmm. and he grew, he matured in grace and stature and wisdom and knowledge before God and before men. So Jesus, but yes, at 12, he's coming into this very profound realization that he is son of the Son of God, the Father. I hope I'm not confusing people when I say this, but because people do have, some people have this idea that Jesus, you know, even as a 3-year-old, that he had the perfect wisdom and, mm-hmm. and no, he had to grow. He had to grow. Yeah. And so I guess you could look at it this way. Each of us, certainly you as a religious, I would say certainly I know from my own experience as a priest, already as a young boy, I had a sense, a real deep, deep sense mm-hmm. that I was going to be a priest. I didn't know exactly, you know, how or when or what or whatever, but it was a desire that God had already put in my soul. Not that I was, you know, living it and breathing it every day, but it was just there. And I had this, I would call it this space, you know, a love for the Blessed mm-hmm. Mother and the love, and as many do, you know, not just priests and religious, but I remember it when I was 12 years old. I was 12 years old. I was at the St. Hyacinths, mm-hmm. and we had been military people, right? So we moved around all over. My father was in the Air Force. And I remember we took a trip. We came to Chicago because my father was from Chicago. He grew up in Chicago. His parents came from Poland. And we came as the first time. I mean, I was here as a child, as an infant, you know, basically as an infant. And one of my sisters was born at the St. Anne's Hospital mm-hmm, here in Chicago mm-hmm. During that time. But we were only here for just a short time. I think it was during the time that my grandfather was dying, and it was just a short time. Mm-hmm. So I was 12 years old. We came to Chicago. And I remember, I'm saying this only because I think of Jesus and St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin and how that age is a very interesting age when you're 12 years old. But it was at a peak moment in my life when I wanted to be a priest. And I was an altar boy in Delaware. We were living at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. We came to Chicago for a vacation to visit the family, and we're meeting the family for the first time, the cousins and all that, you know, really. And I remember going to St. Hyacinths. We went to the parish over there, the Basilica of St. Hyacinths. And it was the first real Catholic church I'd ever been in my whole life, because I had been always in these military churches mm-hmm. where they, you know, they had the Protestant service and they have the Catholic service and they have a Jewish, that would be on a Saturday. But it would, you know, the statues, if we had statues, they would be turned into the wall and then we would turn them out of the wall, you know, for the Catholic Mass and then the crucifix. I remember, you know, we had there was a curtain, you know, the curtain yeah. rod or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we had, when we would go there and set up for the Mass, it was the bare cross. And so we would go behind a curtain, and we'd have to move the bear cross, and we'd have the crucifix, you know. But St. Hyacinths was the first Catholic church I was ever in. It's so mm-hmm. beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I was 12 years old, and I remember kneeling there and praying, you know, God, Father, you know, this is, make me a priest in this church, mm-hmm. in this church. And then, of course, we went back to Delaware. From there, we went to Florida. The whole desire to be a priest was out of my head, out of my heart during high school. And then when I was going to college, that desire began to slowly but surely well up inside me. And anyway, to make a long story short, and I'm sorry I'm going into this, but I had an experience where I felt on Holy Thursday where the Lord specifically called me by name, you know, and I heard the call, and everything, every desire I had as a child kind of, I knew I was called to the priesthood. So I went home and I told my father, and he was supportive and all that. To make a long story short, I went to the priest at the parish. He sent me to their seminary in St. Louis. And so for a weekend, just to spend a weekend there, and I hated it with a passion. And from the time that I heard the call to the time I went to the seminary, I was really struggling, mm-hmm. you know, because it meant, what, you're not going to have a family, you're not going to get married and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I was really, really, I'd have nightmares, you know, struggling. Mm-hmm. It was a horrible time. Yeah, but I felt so strong on the call. So I went to the seminary, and I absolutely hated it. Did not like it. And I said, thank God, you know, I'm not being called. This is a sign to me that I'm not being called to the priesthood. And so I was finally resigned myself to the fact, the joyful news that I was not going to be a priest. And I remember on the Sunday, I was getting ready to go to the airport. They came to pick me up. So I was sitting in a parlor there in the seminary. And I was looking through they had brochures and all that, and I just happened to open up a brochure, and what popped out at me, it was the Church of St. Hyacinths. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I saw it, I was transported back to where I was when I was 12 years old. And then I couldn't, you know, the joy of that request that I made. That's why you got to be careful what you ask the Lord. You know?
That's but, true.
And I went back and I told my father, you know, about you know, the this church and the whole, you know, experience I had at the seminary. These are resurrectionists and all that. And my father said, "Your grandmother had supported the priest, you know." Because they're very big. They were in Poland and in the United States and all that. And so, and it just, by God's grace, I was ordained at that church, and that was my first assignment, you know. So, I mean, sorry to go off into that, but, I mean, that's at 12 years old, so I'm thinking of Jesus. I'm so fixated. I have this fascination with Jesus in the temple at the age of 12, where he's coming to there's a deep sense of who he is or that he's to do the will of the Father. But now St. Joseph had to hear that. Mm-hmm. But that was no problem for St. Joseph because Joseph knew that he too was doing the will mm-hmm. of the Father. And we're going to take a break and come back because that kind of relates to something the Pope said yesterday, as a matter of fact, or Wednesday. Sister, I'm sorry. I'm taking it. You wanted to say something?
Just one thing.
Yeah, you can
you
say
know,
two
talking
things.
Talking about Jesus telling St. Joseph and the Blessed Mother, you know, this is my Father's will, so, you know. But I think when he went home and was obedient, to me, I've meditated so many times on, you know, yes, Joseph and Mary were extremely holy, but maybe they weren't ready for that, and they thought they lost a treasure of gold when they lost Jesus. And he understood that. And so when he came home, he kind of settled down and was nurturing to them.
Well, that's interesting, you know, but because certainly, as the Scripture says, and you know, that speaks. Why, in the case of Saint Joseph, the pondering. I don't know if it actually refers to Saint Joseph as pondering, but certainly the Virgin Mary ponders. It's not that she has, you know, okay, this is all in God's plan. Now, what does it actually mean? How is it going to unfold? Where is it going to take me? You know, when the prophet Simeon said, and this child of yours is dead. And of course, St. Joseph was right there, right? Because they brought the child in for the presentation. And St. Joseph, the child was in the arms of his mother. And the prophet said, Simeon said, you know, the child, well, first of all, you know, Master, I can now let me die in peace. Mm-hmm. For my eyes behold the salvation of my people, a light to the nations. And he filled with the Holy Spirit, he recognizes the Messiah, Christ, the Christ, and he says, "This child of yours is destined for the fall and for the rise of many, a sign that will be rejected, and a sword will pierce your heart." Looking to the mother, that the secret thoughts of many may be laid bare. Now Saint Joseph, being the protector and the caretaker of this holy family, I mean, he had to ponder, because I think there too, I think it says that the Blessed Mother pondered, what does this mean? You know, where is this going to, even in the Annunciation, well, how can this be since I know not man? Mm-hmm. Because that's also the teaching of the Church, is that she and St. Joseph, and this is by a grace of God, had committed themselves fully to do the will of God. Mm-hmm. And so that there was, I guess, it goes back to this intuitive or deep-seated sense that they're chosen by God for something, exactly what that is, you know, that comes to, they come to that realization as they're in faith making their journey through life. So, but it seems as the church teaches that Mary intended to remain a perpetual virgin, which means that St. Joseph would also, or perhaps even if he hadn't, at least certainly in the Annunciation of the dream, then as he comes to this understanding that his wife is with child by the grace and the power of the mm-hmm. Spirit, and that and he was given the he was told to name the child mm-hmm. Jesus, right? You mm-hmm. will give the name mm-hmm. to this child Jesus, but the grace, he was open, receptive to that grace, extraordinary grace he needed to fulfill the task that was allotted to him, no?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Anything else, sister, before we take a break?
The only thing I would want to say is that to all of our listeners and to all those who have any devotion to St. Joseph, go to Joseph for everything because he knows. He lived with the two holiest people that God created, so
right.
he knows everything, and he's understanding.
And what a important point to make, in that, you know, in this time of great confusion, how much we need the image of a man, a holy man,
mm-hmm.
The family, mm-hmm. the father, the patriarch. He is mm-hmm. the patron of the church.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's interesting, Pope Francis, because now this is he's in the liturgy of the Mass, in the Eucharistic prayer. Saint Joseph his name would appear at certain times, you know, mm-hmm. but now under the
every
papacy
mass.
Of Pope Francis, he is to be mentioned at every
mass.
Celebration of the Holy Eucharist, of the Holy Mass. So, as a way perhaps of awakening us to the necessity,
that's
the
right.
necessity of the Father, of a Holy Father. Husband, father, mm-hmm. holy man.
So. He's a role model.
A role model, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you for letting us.
Sister, you going to stay or are you going to go back?
I have work to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, thanks for just popping in. You know, we're happy
okay,
to have
Father.
You, always. And thanks for the food, too. You know, I appreciate
sure.
that more than anything, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, okay.
You can leave the food anytime, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah,
so.
I know.
Sister's are the great cook of the of St. Stan's, you know. She's serving the poor. Always, every day. Thanks very much, sister.
You're welcome.
And happy Feast of St. Joseph.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, everybody, we'll be right back. We're going to take a break. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We join our Chaldean Catholics in prayer to the Mother of God for peace in the Middle East. Mother of God, Virgin Mary, be for us a safeguard from all illnesses and hardships. Through the great love you have for Christ, ask and beseech him to be merciful to us, to give healing to our ailments, to console the downtrodden, to unite those who are scattered, and to forgive us. Glory to Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. I'm inviting you to an opportunity to be pierced by the sheer beauty of God's plan for your life, to make the connection between God, sex, and the meaning of life.
As Father Loya invites you to hear renowned speaker and author Christopher West, Saturday, April 25th at St. Mary Immaculate Parish in Plainfield, Illinois.
Original sin for all of us, for every human being on the planet, has disoriented our desires. We often find ourselves hungry for things that don't satisfy the ache, don't satisfy the need.
Join Christopher Saturday, April 25th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. at St. Mary Immaculate Parish, 15629 South Route 59, Plainfield, Illinois. Limited seating. Register online to coreseminar.evenbright.com. Core spelled C-O-R, Bright spelled B-R-I-T-E.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hello, I'm William Neal of Project Fourth Stream. We will be performing a benefit concert with the church choir and guest soprano Josephine Stoppelberg on April 11th at 7:30 at St. Stanislaw Kostka Church in Chicago. We have entitled the concert Notris Voces, Out of Darkness into Light, because the music, quietly passionate and reflective, will explore the themes of darkness and illumination. Music is a blend of classical and jazz improvisation and has been inspired by the recently restored artifacts in the Church's Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy.
The Nostras Voces concert is a fundraiser for St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. The concert is Saturday evening, April 11th at 7:30. Tickets $25 for adults, $40 for families. That's adult parents with minor children. High school and college students, $10. Purchase tickets online by visiting sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being here. Just about kind of slowly went back in. I don't know. What am I? So, how are you guys doing?
I'm a little fine, bit, Father. Fine.
Oh, yeah. Didn't even say hi.
No, you didn't say hi to us.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Oh. Really say hi to us.
Well, we had a guest, you know, so I thought it would
we
be.
We had a special guest.
Yeah. Well, Christina, we're happy to have you back on a mic.
Oh, thank you. No, I enjoyed listening to Sister.
Yeah, she's genuine, you know, and she's a good cook too, by the way. You know, so
yes, you know those Italians.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask her about. Italians. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit more about what constitutes the Saint Joseph. Anybody know?
Somebody was telling me sweet. Well, you would know, Jerry, right? Somebody was telling me the sweets. She did mention the
sweets.
The sweet
fruits.
Table.
Yeah.
There's
the
a sweet
fruits.
Table.
Yeah.
She did mention before there was no meat.
No meat.
After
and that's still the case, isn't it?
Yeah. Right.
That's still
the
case.
I know at St. Peter's downtown, they would have the St. Joseph table, and places like Berghoff's, different restaurants would bring food, and it was all, you know, pasta, fish, whatever, because it was inland.
Hey, we're all good. We're
as opposed to St. Patrick, you have corned beef and cabbage.
Cabbage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cabbage. Exactly. Anyway, Tony, how are you today? I mean, are you doing okay?
I'm getting there.
All right.
That's obvious.
Well, it was nice that Sister came in because I really was just
nice
working on this. So. I was let me ask you what this means now. I was working on these letters too, so I kind of begin by saying, you know, I too often apologetically say that I think I'm a pessimist by nature, but I really I want to back away from that kind of self-accusation, if you don't mind, because I believe I'm a realist as opposed to a pessimist.
See, I would agree.
Tony's
that.
A pessimist, I think.
Yeah, I'm
you know,
a pessimist.
No, you're not a pessimist. You're not a pessimist. We're not pessimists.
No.
You know, just but looking and listening to the events unfolding near and far, right? We have, I think, genuinely have serious concern for the future. But one thing is certain, and that is, and this is, I think, this is goes right to the, it actually goes to the very core of our faith: is that good prevails, that there is light in darkness. Even I was thinking about the concert that's coming up on the eve of.
Divine Mercy,
Nostra Voces, what he said, light out of the darkness. But no matter how dark the dark may be, the light is still more powerful.
Yes.
And this is what we're going to be celebrating as we celebrate the Easter feast. And really, reflecting, even listening to Sister, you know, from my own personal experience of others, and Geraldine, you've got much more experience than I have, so I want to see if you would concur with this, you know. But that authentic Christians are the most grounded people in the world, the most balanced, and realist. So I guess saying that, I'm telling you that I'm an authentic Christian, if I'm not pessimistic, but a realist.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just reflecting on this. You know, we're not flying high, as I say, as if we're drugged into cyberspace or some other virtual reality. What is virtual reality, by the way? That is cyberspace, isn't it? Wouldn't that be the same thing?
So.
Virtual?
Yeah.
What,
I
Nick?
Don't know.
No? What's the difference?
Well, cyberspace refers more to computers and also refers more to the technology and also saving formats and file formats. Virtual reality probably is more of a program as well as ideas for games and things like that.
So
I mean, I'm gradually becoming a tech person.
Yeah.
But if I had to choose, what would be a difference? That would probably be the closest.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
And virtual reality would be an artificial reality.
Artificial reality. Okay. Mm-hmm. That would be the point. Thanks. I'm gonna delete cyberspace because that's something.
Yep.
Well, no, cyberspace is accurate for.
Okay.
Work
thank
with
you.
Computer programs.
All right. Very good.
Always
okay. So
talk to a tech guy.
There you go. See. So I need you alongside me as I'm writing my letters and all that, you know. So, but the other thing is, you know, so we're not flying high in cyberspace or virtual reality, which is not. I was on one hand, I would say there's no reality at all in that, but there's a bit of a reality, right? Because the fact is, I mean, philosophically speaking, it is what it is, but it's not reality. You know what I'm saying? But authentic Christians aren't trapped in the trenches of life's trials either, you know, and we're not beaten by the battles of life into paralysis. And it's true, you know, it says that we vacillate from between victory and defeat. That's part of the realism, right? We vacillate between victory and defeat and even between virtues and vice, mm-hmm. right? And at times we cry from the cross, or we cry because we're carrying the cross, in our own personal crosses, mm-hmm. but we cry with Jesus, as Jesus cried from the cross, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But quickly enough, we know, like Jesus, that we have to commend ourselves to the Father, right? We have to entrust ourselves to the Father, trusting God will see us through the darkness. And He does. And He does. And so it's really, when I talk about this being grounded and being balanced and being realists, it's really the full Paschal mystery, right?
Yes.
Because we know the story. We know the story. We've heard it. We've seen it. As I say so often, Jesus laid out a plan. He laid out the plan in His teachings and His life. And so we know what we're supposed to do. We know where we're supposed to go, right? And we also know when we deviate or mm-hmm. when we fall short. It's all part of the reality. But what keeps us on the narrow path, that really it's just a narrow and a rather difficult path, is the victory that is revealed in the aftermath of the suffering death of Jesus. This is all as we're moving towards this celebration or the observance of Holy Week, right? And what it is, what is it? What is it beyond the, what is it? So this is very narrow, this very difficult path. What keeps us on this path is the victory revealed in the aftermath of the suffering death of Jesus. And what is that? But that's the drama of the encounter, right?
Mm-hmm.
The encounter. Because once it grabs hold of us, we're changed forever. And our experience of Jesus risen from the dead compels us to keep hope when all around us people say, it seems that we shouldn't have hope, right?
Right.
Are you with me on that?
Mm-hmm.
I heard it said once. I'm trying to remember who said it. Actually, I think it was Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis who said that for all we suffer in the course of a lifetime, the miracle of life is that we survive life.
Yeah.
It's really true, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So much of your suffering is hidden from the eyes of others. I'm speaking to everybody who's listening right now. So much of your suffering is hidden from the eyes of others. Only you know what you've suffered in your mind,
mm-hmm.
in your body, in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit. And maybe you've been the cause of your own suffering. Often, you've suffered from the mere circumstances of life or at the hands of others. And so abandonment, rejection, betrayal, denial, they're all written into the Easter story, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. That's
right. I'm saying this is what creates the balance, the realism, right? It's all written into the Easter story. Jesus spared nothing of what we suffer. He spared Himself nothing of what we suffer. And added to this, He took our sins to Himself. But it all ends well, right? For us, for each and every one of us, if we just want to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. And what's the pledge of his love for us? And what is the pledge of his incomprehensible mercy? What would you think?
He will never abandon us. We are going to be able to keep moving forward.
But what's the pledge? What is the sign? The sign that, well, the pledge of his love for us. I mean, it's certainly the cross, right? This event that happened 2,000 years ago, right? The pledge of his love, his incomprehensible mercy. Mm-hmm. But he leaves that pledge of his love. So the pledge of his love would be, you know, what is the sign, right? What is the sign of his love right in the here and the now? Because we're not living 2,000 years back. So I asked the students the other day, I had the children, I did a little retreat for the first Holy Communion, children are going to receive Holy Communion. So I had them in the church, I brought them into the sanctuary, and I brought them right up to the altar. I've never done that before, you know, this time I did. Mm. And the parents came up too, and it was really nice. So I had the vestments out there, and I had the altar, and we touched the altar, and, you know, what is this? And, you know, we have the big, beautiful crucifix on the altar, the candles, you know, explain all that. Took them around and allowed them to see the Roman Missal, the prayers of the Mass. We went to the ambo, to the chair, took them to the tabernacle. I says, now here we have to kneel down because, you know, Jesus is present in the tabernacle. And so I allowed them to see. I opened the curtain, unlocked the door of the tabernacle, and opened the tabernacle so they could see. And they were just amazed. They were just amazed because you had a beautiful gold curtain on the inside. And then I just kind of moved the curtain so they could see the ciborium, you know, that was veiled, you know. And they had all kinds of questions. But it was a beautiful one. So we didn't close it, and, you know, we have to kneel because at the name of Jesus, all knees must bend. But now it's not just at the name of Jesus, but in the very presence of Christ, who's comes to us in a very, very special way in the Eucharist. You know, certainly God reveals himself in his creation and in the love of the members of our family and all this. But this is a very unique presence of Christ among us. So that's the pledge, you see. That's the pledge of his love, his incomprehensible mercy, is the Holy Eucharist. So what is it? But Jesus invites you and me to lay our life of suffering and pain, our weakness, our sins at the altar of sacrifice. He wants us to give it all to him, right?
Right.
This is realism, I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
He wants, and why is this important to Jesus? Why is it important that you give it all to him? Because he wants your life. He wants your family. He wants our nation. He wants the world and the future of all things. It's the living God who's asking us to immerse ourselves in the Paschal mystery, which is what? But the suffering, the death, and the resurrection. And when you think about it, and this is so profound, and how do you communicate this to children, or how do we communicate it to ourselves, to one another? But that at every Mass, Jesus transforms the altar of sacrifice into the table of the banquet. I mean, again, there you've got the realism, the balance, right? The realism. And as he does, he does it for us, that we not collapse as we go on our way, so that it's... so that we can hear, and this is what keeps us, this is what sustains us, is that, you know, you don't be afraid. Fear not. You know, peace be with you. These are the gifts of the risen Lord. This is the grace that gives us, this is what gives us the grace to be realists, to see things as they are.
Right.
And not be defeated. This is really the great Easter feast, don't you think?
And this is where there's very little talk in any of this. It's, the presentation is there. I am here in the Eucharist for you. And this is in contradiction to so much in the world that is full of noise, endless chatter, all kinds of talking going on, and a desire to convince each other that we're really having a great time we are so smart. And this is what appeals to me.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Even like earlier when you were talking about St. Joseph, he was quiet.
Yep.
But there was, even in that quietness, we've said before that there's strength in mm-hmm. there. That doesn't mean that he's weak. There's strength in the silence. He had to protect our Blessed Mother and our Lord. Just to think, like you said, Father, the mission that was entrusted
sure.
to him. And of course, it was by God's grace, but he was open to the grace. But he, actions speak louder than words, so he did it.
And which brings, and we'll take a break. We've got to take a final break. But it brings us back to the very mystery of the Eucharist, you know, mm-hmm. that there's this dangerous tendency, it seems to me, in certainly in our country, in much of the West, to feel that there should be a sacred silence that yes. envelops mm-hmm. the celebration of the Holy Sacrifice, the banquet. Yes, there's a place for the music and the chant and all that, but it's just that we've created so much distraction
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
because we're just not comfortable. It seems to me, I'm making a judgment here, but the mystery that is unfolding, what is central
yeah.
to the liturgy is this is we listen to the Word of God, so we immerse ourselves, we put ourselves into the story, and then we go to the altar. Mm-hmm. of sacrifice, and we give everything. That means we have to be self-reflective. You know, we're mm-hmm. there to, okay, here's, what is it he wants? The realism. The realism is that there is a lot of pain in the world, and there is a lot of pain in our hearts, and there is a lot of confusion in the mind, and there is a lot of uncertainty about the future. You know, so we got to bring this all mm-hmm. to the altar. Offer it, sacrifice it, give yes. it.
Yeah.
Over to Jesus, in union with Jesus, to the Father, so that we can then be, in a sense, emptied of these things, at least momentarily, mm-hmm. to be receptive and receive Christ in the Eucharist, mm-hmm. so that we can go back out into the mm-hmm. into the struggles of life, yes. and that we're going to be sustained. We're not going to be defeated,
yeah.
you know. But this the noise does mm-hmm. get in the way.
Yes.
There's no doubt
yes.
about it. Noise gets
and it's
in the
done
way.
For a reason. It's meant to overpower everything else. Just make a racket.
Because we don't want to face a reality. Mm-hmm.
Just like when St. Stephen was stoned. What were they all doing?
Sure.
They were shouting,
yeah,
shouting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was
yeah.
getting ready to die.
Yeah, they couldn't, as you're right. They just couldn't stand his simplicity mm-hmm. and his simple challenge
yep.
to them. Jesus, I mean,
the same Jesus.
He went as a yep. in silence. He went yes.
Even
to the cross.
Even as when they were asking, "Who do you want? What do you want me to do with him? Crucify!" They're all screaming, "Crucify mm-hmm. him!" And there's Jesus, God, silent,
yeah.
quiet.
Yeah, interesting. Wow. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back and wrap up. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hello, I'm William Neal of Project Fourth Stream. We will be performing a benefit concert with the church choir and guest soprano Josephine Stoppelberg on April 11th at 7:30 at St. Stanislaw Kostka Church in Chicago. We have entitled the concert Notris Voces, Out of Darkness into Light, because the music, quietly passionate and reflective, will explore the themes of darkness and illumination. music is a blend of classical and jazz improvisation and has been inspired by the recently restored artifacts in the church's sanctuary of the Divine Mercy.
The Nostras Voces Concert is a fundraiser for St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. The concert is Saturday evening, April 11th at 7:30. Tickets $25 for adults, $40 for families. That's adult parents with minor children. High school and college students, $10. Purchase tickets online by visiting sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. As we wrap up on this, the Feast of St. Joseph, you know, speaking of St. Joseph, and this is being father, being the patron of the church, mm-hmm. and the father of the family, you know, the husband of Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the foster father of Jesus, Pope Francis. You can tell where I'm at. I'm just
that's okay. Father.
I'm on the. I'm. What's the? What do they say? I'm depleted. You know, yeah. the energy is. I'm depleted. Got to meet these deadlines, Christina.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
and then you've
Father.
Got to. No, once I finish, then you got.
We
got to do the translations and all that. So
it's a tag team.
It's just amazing. It's all this. Wow, here it is. We're already there. But anyway, Pope Francis.
Francis.
What's it? Pope Francis.
Francis.
I think I'm thinking of Joseph Francis, Francesco. He was speaking really so beautifully and almost in a sad kind of way about children, as you know, that he said that that children are a joy-filled gift for the church and the world, and mm-hmm. cautioned against an overcast society that lacks life because it has rejected and run out of children.
Mm-hmm.
In a very simple way, he speaks about that.
Yeah. Beautiful.
The children give life, joy, and hope. They also give us worries and sometimes problems, but this is better than a society that is sad and gray because it has run out of children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or doesn't want children.
Doesn't want. And what did Jesus say? Let the children come.
And in fact, he mentions that. Yeah, the Pope mentioned that. He quotes the Lord. He says that children, he said, are not a problem of reproductive biology or any of or one of many ways to realize oneself in life, yeah. let alone their parents' possession.
Yes.
That's where I think of St. Joseph, because Jesus wasn't the possession of St. Joseph, nor the possession of Our Lady. But he said, children are a gift. And do you understand? He says, children are a gift, and he went on to talk about the free aspect of love they bring to the world. He says, what a great gift children are, and that their weakness and their fragility is a reminder for everyone that we are always dependent on others, that a society can be judged by the way it treats its children.
Yeah.
You know? All of us are always children in need of help, love, and forgiveness, which are the conditions in order to enter the kingdom of God. So he says, dismantle. He says that children help us dismantle the idea of believing we are autonomous and self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
In his birth, Jesus himself reminds us of what? Wow, we're out of time. That's it. Are we keep going? Okay, keep going. All right. This has been a weird day, hasn't it? A strange day. But Jesus... He reminds us of how we all have one point in time been totally dependent on the care of others. And Jesus gives special praise to the little ones who need help, especially the children. Okay, this is it now for sure. Is this it? Okay.
That's it.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Everybody, thanks so much for meeting. Happy Feast of St. Joseph. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The